strengthen us. Talk to Him in the morning. I mean, I talk to Him every morning. Testing produces testimony, part two. I talk to Him every morning. And I tell Him, Lord, thank You for this day, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your anointing in my life, God. Your grace gives me an ability that I don't have on my own to be strong, to be courageous, Lord. And so talk to Him. Talk to the Lord. Get up. Don't start your day off without Him. Get up and talk to Him. Say something to the Lord. Tell Him, thank You, Lord. This is the day that You've made, and I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it. Start using Your words for benefits to your future. Start using Your words, and you will have testimony. Testimonies that God does in a person's life, they have went through a test to have a testimony. You got to have a test to have a testimony. But testimonies are proof in your life and in the lives of those that see God work in your life. Testimonies are proof of the power and anointing and faithfulness of God in your life. Testimonies are proof. A testimony is proof of God's provision. Give you a little example. Now I'm going to get on down there and talk about some things here a little bit. But I knew that God wanted to start this church. And I'm really not excited. I am in here because I got to leave where I'm at, you know, my church. I know this is a parting, and that part of my serving the Lord is going to be over forever. You know, crossroads, that's right. And so, but anyways, I go on and I utilize my faith and I go to God and I say, God, have I got what it takes that Teresa won't die spiritually? That I can raise my family, you know, and them be secure like they are here at Faith Restoration. We were secure. We had somebody solid, Bradley McDonald and all the leaders there. And it was a safe place. It was a place where you found truth. It was a place where you found the Word. It was a place where they would, if they knew that you needed some direction, they would give it to you out of love. You know, it was a place to where, I mean, you felt safe even though at times you were convicted every service you went. Y'all ever have been convicted? Y'all ain't never been convicted? You ain't saved then. Conviction means that the Holy Spirit comes to convict you what you need to do. Conviction is not an ugly word. I thank God that I'm convicted all the time. I am convicted all the time. Conviction is not an ugly word. Conviction means to convince. Conviction means God comes and He says to Sandy, you got to forgive her for that. You know, they ain't paid you in 3 months, and you've thought about it over 3 months, and it's been on your mind for over 3 months. And this morning got a word from God that brought conviction. You didn't see Sandy get up. This is embarrassing. Well, if you're embarrassed about God's conviction, then you're full of pride. Pride will not let you repent. Pride will not let you say you're wrong. Pride will not let you, it'll stop you from saying, well, I don't have to be right about everything. I don't know why my own pride's not in my, but pride will stop the testimonies from coming. Pride will stop you from being able to believe God. You cannot have pride in your heart. The Bible says God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You know? I mean, I was about one of the most, I was more prideful than this in the way he talks about. And that was deep. Monty. I believe I was about one of the most prideful persons on the face of this earth. I'll never forget the first, we've overcome, haven't we? And still doing it and keeping it under. And we don't know everything. And we don't have an opinion about everything. And We can listen to people without giving the answers to all their problems. Some people just wanting an ear, somebody to hear, you know. But you know what? I remember the first time when I realized that I had pride. I realized that I had it is when God said, tell Teresa you're sorry, and I hadn't even, it wasn't even my fault. It honestly, I'm telling you the truth, was not my fault. And I said, God, it's your daughter. He said, tell her you're sorry. And I thought, I go to her, and I tried to say it 2 or 3 times, and I just couldn't get it out. I could not get it out. See, you don't have to be right in the wrong to tell somebody you're sorry. You can just presume you are right about something and be dead wrong. That's pride. But as Christians, here comes God, and God will not let us stay deceived. If we are deceived in an area, God will bring it to our attention so that we, not God, can do something about that. We have authority over pride. We have authority over it. See, pride says we know better what we need than God does, so we can't acknowledge Him and let Him direct us. But humility says, God, although my world may fall, I will never let you go. God, even though I've come to a place to where I've got plenty, God, I still need you more today than I did before I got anything. God, I mean, look, testimonies are going to come to believers because He takes us from faith to faith and from glory to glory, so you can expect testimonies to be every week at least or more part of your life. God will move for you every day. God will strengthen you every day. God will push sickness and disease far. He already done it through Jesus. I'm proclaiming that over you. I drove a tractor yesterday for a few hours, and I guess it's what arthritis feels like. You know, in my arm, man, got up in my elbow, and I'm like, it ain't even gonna rain like they say, man. And I mean, we in a heat wave here. So I get home, you know, and certain way I move my arm, it hurt in there in my, felt like in my joint. And I thought, arthritis has creeped up on you. And so I just slapped this anointed hands. How many knows He's anointed your hands? He said, you'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Does the Bible say it or not? These hands are anointed. Your hands are anointed. He's anointed you to preach that He's anointed you. And so I slapped my hand on her, and I said, oh, no, you don't. I cast down these thoughts, black God. I command you to loose this body and let me go. I will not suffer this, because we heard it this morning. We've been redeemed from that kind of suffering. I didn't just find that out this morning. You've not just knew that if you've been in church this morning. You've learned that a long time ago. But you know what? I mean, I can grow watermelons and never eat them. I've done it for the grandkids. Never enjoy that watermelon, Johnny. Well, bless God, I changed that. When I cut one, I'm eating half of it. I put it in the refrigerator. Well, today, nothing. Somebody say nothing. That had to leave me. Now, you believe it or not, I'm not asking you to believe it. If I wait on your believing and you ain't convinced, then I'm going to die with it. I'm not waiting on your believing. I am not. You cannot wait on other people's believing. You cannot wait on people to have confidence in you. You need to have confidence in God, in you, yourself. And you build that through the Word of God. And I'm telling you, God is saying for 2 sermons now that He wants testimonies in our life. That means They don't be proof of God's provision in your life, God's deliverance in your life, and God's faithfulness in your life. It is going to be brought out in the open, not faith speaking. Now, I'm a big faith speaker. I am big on it. But I know without believing in here, this mouth confession is nothing. You got to believe in your heart and then confess with your mouth. Paul said, as we have believed, therefore we speak. See, I can believe the doctor's report. He said, I have heart disease, and all it was my pipes was stopped up. So after they give me new veins out of my legs and all of that, well, don't tell me I got heart disease. My heart is pumping, functioning good. My heart is strong. They actually told me, your heart is absolutely strong. It just can't push the blood. Don't tell me then, because the doctor's report, that I'm going to believe that. Now, he believes that that is a disease. I don't. I believe if a hose, I still siphon gas every now and then. I like it. I mean, that's just part of this country boy's life. And I know I'm 56 and fixing to be 57, but every now and then I whoop the hose pipe out. I can run to the store if I want to. I can get Teresa's gas. But sometimes I just want to siphon gas and see if I can still got it to where it ain't getting in my mouth. I got it right to the edge. I still got it. I just siphoned some the other day just because I wanted to. I actually had 5 gallons sitting down there, but you know what? Every now and then I get that hose out to siphon some gas, and dirt daubers has got in there. Well, you know what? I don't just say, well, this hose is diseased up now. Oh no, nah, man! I don't go throw it on the burn pile or in the garbage. You know, I don't count. There's nothing wrong with that hose pipe. So I just beat it. Y'all ever did that? Poof, and then blow another in, poof, dust come out, because you don't want that in your gas tank, you know. And so, you know, you're getting rid of that. Poof, poof. That's what the word does to unbelief. That's what faith does to unbelief and oppression and sickness and disease. It's already been drove from us. I mean, Jesus drove it from us. I thought about it this morning, you know, how that, I'm going to get on into Proverbs 3 probably. Go ahead, Ben, put that up there. I think we're there. Testing produces testimonies. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own, in all your ways acknowledge Him and direct your path. Go ahead, Ben. No, that's it. The Lord spoke to me this morning. He said, see, He said, the more you have acknowledged me in work and acknowledged me in your marriage, He said, marriage, acknowledge me. He said, you have built yourself in a trust system in me. He said, the more that you do that, every day you are building a trust system in your heart with me. He said, now I'm able to direct you. He said, I'm able to direct you because you are acknowledging me. You know how you acknowledge the Lord? He tells me to tell Teresa, I'm sorry, I eventually did. Eventually. And then he told me to love her like Christ so loved the church in the word. And I thought, oh my God, she'll take advantage of me. I felt like, you know, I'm 5'6", baby, but I wear these bad caps. And you married a bad boy. I can take care of you and my whole family. You know, that's just the way I thought, Johnny. I mean, I'm 5'6". How much damage can somebody that little do, man? You know, that thinking in there that the enemy's got, you know, in that process think. Now I know who I am. I'm not that guy. I know who I am, and I am a giant on the inside, and I know it, but it's humility because I know greater is He that is in me than he that is in. And I know that I don't have to take care of my family anymore, that my God has angels and all these things that takes care of my family. I got guns that the world don't know nothing about. I mean, I got some atomic weapon. atomic weapon. Dynamite, the Bible said. Dunamis power. You've got dynamite power laying on the inside of you. That's dunamis. That's dynamite power. That's atomic power. I mean, it's like kryptonite to Superman, to Satan. It's not a figment of our imagination. Our Bible teaches us that greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. The Son of God living on the inside of us by the Spirit of God. I mean that destroyed sickness and disease. That destroyed, I mean took on and destroyed sin for us. In defeat. See, but the more that we acknowledge God and not try to take care of our life, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, I'm asking the Lord, I want my money to make money. Instead of me going and making money, I want it to make me money. I'm thinking, I'm on a different level here, man. You know, and I thought, I'm going to sell all my cows out, and I thought, well, I don't know what I'd do with that money. What am I going to do, save it? Let Aubrey and Aiden have it? No. I don't think so. Save it till I'm dead, then what? Teresa gets it. She'd have Ray, she'd probably have two or three 2010 Camaros sitting around doing nothing. Mine, and I could have been driving them, right? And so I'm acknowledging God. I'm acknowledging God down there when I'm so broke we can't see straight, and I've made mistakes and fixed us and all that stuff, financially strapped us, and I'm on my knees behind my trailer, you know, and I'm doing this because I knew this scripture. And I got on my knees and I said, God, I have made a mess of our finances, God. I've got us so far in debt, God, we can't enjoy going swimming. Lord, help me and show me, Lord, and help me to do what you tell me to do, God. Help me not to do my own thing anymore, God. I'm asking you to help. How many knows that's humility? Humble people get help. Humility gets help. You know, I'm trying to serve Jesus by myself, but I need the Holy Spirit now. I realize I need Him. You know, and anyways, it wasn't long after that God said, do this. I walked in down here to see. Now, look, test. I'm in a test, okay? I'm acknowledging Him. What'd He say you'd do if I do that? Direct me, right? He'll direct my path. I don't know how He's going to direct me. You don't know how He's going to direct you, but he's going into your future now because you are yielding to Him. You're trusting Him. You're trusting Him to work out this stuff for you. You're trusting Him to work out your life. You're trusting Him to give you wisdom. And therefore, I walk in and Maxie Marsh down here. I went in to get some parts or something. And this is just a couple of days after I acknowledged the Lord that night. I walked in there and I got up there to sit on the bar stoop, ignore something. Maxie looks over at me and she said, Scott, Willie's looking for a truck. I said, I got one. Well, he's looking for, you know, a certain truck. And I said, well, she said, he's wanting a diesel. I said, mine's a diesel. He said, he's wanting a 2500. I said, mine's a 2500. She said, he's wanting a long wheelbase with a gooseneck in it. I said, mine is. And she said, but he's wanting a four-wheel drive. I said, he's going to love this gray color. She said, you got that truck? I said, it's sitting out there running right now with the air conditioner. Well, you know what? Willie comes and looked at that truck, and he said, what you want for it? I called the bank and see how much I owed on that truck and everything, and I went back. I picked up the phone, called him. I said, I'll take $11,500 for that truck. He said, where you got it financed? I said, hometown bank. He said, I'll go down there and pay it off. Go sign the title. I said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. There went $1,000 a month, but I didn't have that truck. See, I could have let the truck go back. That is not God's wisdom. If you signed for something, you gave your word, and you, now I'm going to try not to get on all that because y'all know better, right? But we got people listening by way of internet and they wondering why they don't have God's proof in their life. They don't have God's provision in their life. They don't have God's faithfulness in their life. It's their fault. If I renege on what I make commitments, then God has to back off and say, this is your deal. I'm not involved with it anymore. Well, you know what? He delivered me. I didn't have that. I thought, oh, I'd like to keep that truck and all that. And I thought, bless God, Lord, I don't care if I get down. I'll drive a Pinto and cut the back off for a pickup. I've done it before, and I'll do it again. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. It wasn't too long. He had us delivered. It wasn't too long. And then because of that testimony. Now I got a testimony. It caused me to have a testimony. I had a confidence of people I'd run across, you know, and they'd be strapped and all that. I'd say, acknowledge him. They're like, preach to me. Yeah, every time you get around, you go, no, I'm giving you my testimony, sweetheart, that what God did for me through Proverbs. And he can deliver you. But you got to get on your knees and acknowledge him. You got to be willing to do what he says after he brings the convincing to you. And so, it wasn't too long. And then I'm like, my heart, I'm like, bless God, I'm not going in debt anymore. My head, there's no way you can have anything if you don't go in debt. My heart, I want out of debt. I'm depending on him, on the bank, right? I'm depending on the bank. He made me quit borrowing money from Pop and Granny. I don't know if they ever thought, we thought, there's up there. We borrowed money from them. He said, that's enough. I borrowed money. Now listen, I mean, God wants to bring testimonies in your life on a consistent basis. Well, you know what? I started one Monday to fill my truck up on the credit, and I would pay it Friday. The Lord said, don't do it. And I thought, man, I ain't got but $8. I need that. Well, I'm borrowing off of Friday that I've not even made yet. I'm borrowing. And the Lord don't want me to borrow. And so I'm like, I'm going to run out of gas before the week's out. Ain't gonna be enough gas, you know. But I'm like, okay, but God, I never borrowed another dollar from that store for gas, and I didn't even need to. It seemed like more come to me. I was able not to have to get him. I'd go in there and that guy, you want me to put this on your ticket? And I'd be like, no, get rid of that ticket. No, man, don't get rid of your ticket. Just leave it just in case. I said, no, just burn it. Just go out there and get rid of that ticket. I said, I'm never borrowing any money from y'all again. I said, I'm going to buy it on Monday like I should have been doing all the time. You're still going to get my money, but I don't need a ticket. I never had to do it again. I believe God to bring me from that place. Now I go on down here. I mean, now he's working on my marriage. Well, most men have done divorced her 1,000 times. That's not belittling her. She's Teresa. I mean, I've went through the fire, went through the flood. I've even had to tell her, don't you ever think that you're going to subdue me. Because she's got that dominating, you know, dominate. Which I like a good dominating woman. You know. But you ain't going to subdue me. And I just every now and then have to warn her. You don't tell me what to do here. You're not my mama. I don't need a mama. My mama gone. And she don't do it on purpose. She just don't think. Like she said this morning during preaching, don't think. Well, I'm going to help you think. But, I mean, a normal man would have done divorced her a long time ago. But I'm not normal. And I'm not crazy. I'm anointed and stable and sound and established and not going to be, I shall not be. We can sing that in Sunday school, but let's walk it, baby. Let's do it. Let's do it out here where the real world is. Let's do it out here in our marriage. Let's do it, but God. And then we get God's power. And I've been married 38 years. That is a miracle to me. Miracle. I'm not telling you my story. This stuff works. This kingdom works. This power of God is readily available. Hallelujah. I wished I'd have met Jesus at 18 years old, bless God. I wished I'd have given my heart to him on the riverbank when that guy won my brother to Jesus. And I wouldn't. I wish then that I would have turned my dad's world upside down. He'd have lived a lot longer if I'd have found out and I went and ministered him like I did my mama. Like I ministered the word to her and got her off that carnal thinking and you can have $1 million and you're afraid of losing it. You're broke. You're bankrupt. You're already broke. Because if a storm comes through and you get in a storm shelter and it takes it gone or the bank closes down, you're broke. Leaning on the Lord and trusting in him, this is what the Lord told me this morning. He said, son, He said, you take money. He said, and you put it in a jar. He said, I could see a fruit jar. Teresa wants to bury my money, and I'm not going to happen. I'm afraid a snake will bust it or something. That's not going to happen. She can bury hers. Leave mine alone. I got angels. Anyways, he said, you put money in a jar if you're going to bury it. He said, why? Why would you do that? Preserve it. It'll protect it. He said, you just put it in the ground. He said, the ground will try to grow money with it, and it'll rot it. See, God made the ground. That's why it rots stuff. It's trying to get it to grow something. Well, the Lord told me, he said, your situations, he said, just like you can understand putting that money in a jar to preserve it from the elements around it. He said, when you put your life in my hands and you begin to lean on me, he said, you're putting yourself in a preserved place, preserved from the enemy, preserved from sickness and disease, preserved from oppression, preserved from fear. He said, I want my body preserved. He said, but some won't let me. He said, they won't acknowledge me. He said, when I tell them to love their wives, they just blow it off. He said, but when I tell them to give, he said, they just think, I ain't got it. I can't afford it. Well, you know what? I made up my mind, and God, most of the time, don't ask us to do what is in our own ability to do. He asked us the impossible. Because we got to believe for the supernatural, which makes things possible. People are blessed, it's linked to me. Blessed. People's blessed, it's linked to you. If you're working it. If you're working the kingdom. Well, it says here, in all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. So I said, Lord, I'm going to cast down these imaginations, these thoughts that says that I've got to borrow money, that I can't have vehicles, that I can't have boats, and I can't have toys, and I can't have, I mean, used to it'd be like, I am not going to eat a steak. It costs us $60 every time we go eat. Now I'm like, or to pay them up in advance for 3 months. I eat steak anytime I want to, devil. I fought that down yonder, and I beat that down yonder. I beat that down there to where he would tell me it's wasteful. You could cook at home. Lord, I wouldn't spend that kind of money on a meal. No, but you'll go to Dollar General. Come on, somebody. Because I want a steak on Friday night, but you love Dollar General or Amazon. Or Harbor Freight, or flea market, what is your, is it okay for you to spend what you want on yourself but criticize others? That is pride. Don't criticize others. If I want a Jaguar and God says, I want you to have a Jaguar, I'm going to smoke these cops down here in Bluntsville. Not really. But don't judge me if God gives me a Jaguar. And I won't judge you if He gives you a Corvette. Right? I go around now, I'm like, I don't care really what I look like. It's hot out here. So I go in the store and I open the door and my hair is going, whoop. I got out of the service truck and I'm like, ha, oh, hey, you look rough. And I went right on in there and everybody's like, ha, oh, can I help you? I throw my cap up on the dash. Well, I'm done past what I look like. I know what I look like. I'm super good looking. I don't care if my hair does look nappy. It don't look nappy to me. I don't look at it. I feel who I am on the inside. I might look nappy out here, but by God, I'm super anointed. I'm a major blessed. You're a major blessed. You're super anointed. Amen. Talk to people that are owned up in age. See, God, even in, the Bible says, even in old age, we're still going to bear fruit. I'm not even old. I'm just about halfway. But I talk to 55 and 60-year-old people, you know, and I mean, I'll say, how you doing? Oh, well, my eyes ain't all that good anymore. Wait till you get my age. And I'm like, nah, I'm not going to grow up.
Wait till you get my age.
Well, I ain't going to you either. Praise God. You know, so, I mean, they said after 50, you start going down. Not everybody. I mean, I go, and they're 78 and 80, and he tells me I can't come at 7:30. I'm an early bird back. I can't come at 7:30, and I'm like, oh, man, you know. I said, okay, sir, what time can I be there? He said, just be here about 8:50, whatever he told me. I said, okay, I'll be there. So I had a few minutes early. Going there, and we're going down this set of stairs. This dude's in his 80s. You know, we're going down these stairs. My legs are done getting tired. And he's just hammering down, man. Get down there, and I said, hey, man, let me ask you something. I said, where you been? Looked like you had on workout clothes, you know. I said, where you been and why I couldn't? He said, I've been to the gym, son. 80s. I said, what you doing at the gym? He said, because my body ain't going to tell me nothing. He said, my body ain't going to tell me I'm a freezing up. My body ain't going to tell me, he said, so I go tell it every morning when I go to that gym, you going to do what I tell you to do. I started to say, that's faith, dude. Glory to God, I ain't found none of that down here in Indiana in a long time. Most people's like, nobody. Oh. I'm locking up. Oh, what happened? I don't know. I'll just be walking and it pops. I've had my arms to lock up, Jack. I know what I'm talking about. I went to get me some sweet tea. I don't drink sweet tea anymore. Teresa won't let us have no sugar at the house other than that sugar. Why? Because it causes inflammation in her joints. Taters, I ain't going to get on all that. Not going to get on all of that. I don't do all of that. I mean, I don't eat right all the time. But I know. And so get off of sugar. No sugar in the house. Why? It causes inflammation and stuff. And it builds fat. I mean, you want to get fat? Just eat sugar. Eat taters and biscuits. I like all of them. I usually eat 2.5 in the mornings on Sunday. I cook breakfast 30 years on Sunday. I'm going to cook breakfast on Sunday. I'm going to have me some sausage and bacon and all of that stuff on Sunday morning with a lot of black pepper. And I pray over it. I pray over it too, bless God. This fatty acid in this stuff, bless God, this stuff kind of contributed to my stuff being, you know, stopped up and not going to stop me up again. I got 52 more years on these new ones, bless God, and I'm not going to be stopped up for then. Doctor, go to the doctor, and he said, I don't know, man. We need to send you down to Birmingham, he said. Now, look, I'm talking about test, respond the right way. I'm still talking about that. I'm not just telling you a story. Tests are going to come to every one of us. Respond in the knowledge God. Acknowledge the Word. What does the Word say about your body? What does the Word say about your finances? What's the Word say about your kids? What does the Word say about your grandkids? What does the Word say about your future? What does the Word say about your future? Acknowledge. Well, test, response determines testimony. Asked Aiden, he got in trouble last week, didn't get a lollipop. I reckon they give you a lollipop every Friday if you don't get in trouble. He's in kindergarten. So Travis brings it up out there on the porch or something. I said, what happened? You know, Aiden.
Well, it says, you know, I mean, don't run, don't be aggressive, and pay attention. I said, well, what happened? I don't know what happened, Papa. So we get in here. Now I'm trying to help the boy. So we get in here, and I say, "Well, you didn't get a lollipop Friday." No. Get all sad. I said, "It's your fault." I said, "Now, what's the three things this next week that you're going to do so you get a lollipop?" I'm not gonna run, and I'm not gonna be aggressive, and I'm gonna pay attention, Papa. I said, they can't nobody stop you but you, baby. Well, I bet you if he does it, Mac, he will get him a lollipop Friday. But if he don't, he won't have a testimony. Right? I mean, you bring that into where we live, to where we're at right now in our life, praise God. It is the same way. God rewards those that diligently seek Him. He said, I am he that comes to me must believe that I am your healer. I am your provider. I am your strength. I am your future. I am your life. He said, he that comes to me must believe that I am and that I am a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. What's a reward? I get my healing. Jesus paid for it. What's my reward? I get a super sweet wife later on down the years by responding to the Word. You know, I still got my marriage after 38 years. I've still got a very good relationship with my son. Got a good relationship with most of my family, praise God. I believe the Word says, it says in there that if I will serve Him, He'll save my whole house. Well, that's a promise that I'm standing on, even though it don't look nowhere near like it at times. It'd be bad if I had kids and I didn't stand on that and my son or my daughter didn't make heaven because I wouldn't believe God. Because I looked at them and said, well, you know, they're not going to ever amount to blah, blah, blah. That's not, see, the 10 spies over in the book of Exodus, when Moses sent the 12 spies in, 10 of them come back and they said, there's giants there. We're like grasshoppers. And, you know, today you can say, I don't know, I just can't do that. But the doctor says this is genetic. And this is just the way it is. Mama had it and Daddy had it. It's hard for me to sign them things out because I want to put in there, I draw the line right here because of the blood of Jesus. I've been redeemed from all these that my family had. But I just can't bring myself to do it in the hospital, the doctor's office. So I in my heart and I tell the Lord, yeah, Lord, it might have been in their family, but not in mine. I got a new bloodline, and I've got the blood of Jesus. I've got them stripes He took on His back that I was healed. And Isaiah 53 over there, He redeemed me from all of that. And Lord, I receive freedom from it right now in my heart. Well, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And as long as I think in line, I'm not saying think stupid. The way I'm preaching this morning is stupid to this world. The way I'm preaching right now is unnormal in a lot of churches. I mean, I'm called a fanatic. I'm a rich one. I was a busted one. I'm a blessed one. I'm a healed one. I said to this arm, when I wake up, you're going to be gone. I took me a nap yesterday and it was gone when I woke up. Well, what does your Bible say? Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, long as it's in line with the Bible, it's Bible, it's Bible. You can have it. Jesus said, ask anything in my name, and the Father will do it. He'll do it. Pray. He'll do the word. Well, you know what? They come back with, the Bible says, an evil report. For me to say, oh, they're just broke me, and they're never going to get no better. That's an evil report. But I can say, oh no, but God, if they'll just acknowledge the Lord, all things are possible. See, that's what Caleb and Joshua did. That's what Caleb did. He stilled the people. He said, we are more than able. Let us go up at once. Well, they done been standing on the word, Johnny, that God give them. You think they're going to let down on the promise now because they get to some giants over there that's occupying the thing that God said that they could have? Well, you got it out here yourself. Maybe it ain't big giant glass. Maybe it's not people. Maybe it's fear in your mind. Maybe it's the enemy telling you you have to get older. Mac, these people will sit around in Jackson. They'll give us a vision of our future if they're 75 and they start talking about this is what you got to look forward to. See, we can't take that. We cannot take that report. Don't believe it. The Bible says that our outward man, yes, is getting older, but our inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man, the inward believing in mine and your life has got a lot to do with what happens to this outward man. I believe that's why I'm not got no gray hair. I don't believe I'm going to get none. I don't worry. I just ain't going to worry. I used to worry about some of y'all, and I'm like, if God can't help them, I can't. I cast them over on y'all, acknowledge the Lord. Ain't that what the Bible says? Casting all your care over on the Lord, for He cares for you. That's a command. God, I got to worry. It's on my mind all the time. And God is saying, get it off. Get it off. That job's trying to rob me this morning. Oh my God, I said, shut up. I cast them out and I laid back and I started thinking about the church. I started thinking about scriptures. See, you can't cast them down and not do nothing. You got to replace them. I changed what I was thinking on. You have that ability to change what you're thinking on. You can be going just fine, everything fine at your house. Somebody stop by and tell you about some tragedy and just shut your world down. That's all you think about for the next week. Oh, I feel so bad for them. I mean, it was what happened. It changed your thinking. That report changed your thinking. So, see, here they come, and they brought an evil report for you to say I'm sick. And I mean, things are attacking you. You know, and you're just going to take it? Well, I'm just broke. That's the way it is. That's an evil report. I wish God had come through for me. That's an evil report. He's already come through for you. For you to lay down and say, I owe, so off to work I go. I used to say that because the world said it. And bless God, that's an evil report concerning the kingdom. You got to start saying, I am the head, not the tail. I can lend and not borrow. Bless God. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. I started walking to my shop the other day, Mac, and I felt weak. My legs felt weak. I'm like, gosh, man, what's going on here? And I thought I didn't feel this yesterday, but today is a different day. Satan said, well, you're a day older. I had this thought, you're a day older. And I got that thought from this ungodly world. And so I got up there at the shop and I said, glory to God. I said, you know what, buddy? You better stay strong because you're going to have to keep up with me. You got to be strong because you are not me. See, my body is not me. It's not you. You live on the inside. If you don't believe it, have you ever been to a funeral? And that person that you've loved or seen or what, are they laying there or gone? They're there. But they're out of that body. So that is proof right there that this body is not me and you. And we can't live our life and let feelings and emotions and circumstances dictate how we're going to believe God. We believe God based on the Word of God. Give me 1 Peter 5 and I'm going to close. We've got to unload that truck. We don't have to. We want to. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Why? That He may exalt you in due time. He's going to exalt you. He said, stay humble. Acknowledge me. Learn. Trust me. Learn to trust me. Do it a little bit every day. Talk to me in the morning. Talk to me at night. Tell me what you desire. Tell me what you really want. Don't say tell him all the things that are wrong and you're going to complain about. That's what they were doing, the children of Israel. But Caleb and Joshua said, let us go right now. God's with us. He said he'd be with us. He's delivered them into our hands. And bless God, they went in the name of the Lord, in the strength of the Lord, and they took out them enemies and they occupied what God told them. See, you can occupy what God says in the Word. He says, casting all your care upon Him. You've got to do it. You've got to cast. You've got to learn. You've got to learn to cast. Cast all your cares. Cast the way you feel on Him. Cast your marriage on Him. Somebody having marital trouble, and I told them this morning, I sent them a message. I said, come on to church. Come on to church. You know why? I can't help them out there. I'm not going to preach to you on Facebook. I'm not going to minister to you on Facebook. Facebook's not where I get my information, my inspiration. I hardly ever get inspired on Facebook. Hey, Scripture's all over it. None of them jump out to me. None of them speak to me. But I come to Sunday school and I get it. I got it this morning at Sunday school. I thought, oh, she's preaching what I'm doing. Oh, man, this works. This is good. I know I've been Sunday school. Don't tell me about it. Hey, tell God. Acknowledge Him. Cast it over on Him. Casting all your care on Him. Why? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may, whom resist. How often? Steadfast. Every time. I mean, don't give that devil no room. Not none in your thinking, in your heart, in situations around you. Hey, I could be overwhelmed all the time by some of the things I hear that y'all guys are going through. And I don't lose not 1 minute sleep over y'all. I cast y'all over on the Lord and I say, glory to God, thank you, Lord. I said, strengthen them, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they're strong in you and the power. Thank you that no weapon formed against them will prosper. I cast it over on the Lord, and I depend on the Lord to strengthen all of us. I depend on Him to show up in our city. Why? I'm believing Him for it. I cannot believe and have care at the same time. Your adversary wants to destroy. I know it. He's been on me all week. He ain't your problem. And I'm going to close with this. Satan's not your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is you. My biggest problem is me. Satan don't have the ability to make me and you do nothing. All he does is come and suggest that we be sad. Suggest that we don't feel like fighting anymore. Suggest and make it feel. He can make atmospheres feel. I've come in here and felt like they don't love me anymore. I mean, none of them. I feel it. They don't love me. I preach too hard or something, you know. And then I'll leave, you know, and they'll say, man, that was a good sermon, Brother Scotty. I'll be like, what? I felt like y'all didn't care anymore. So that was the enemy. See, that was that adversary there. And even if you don't, it don't matter. Right? I mean, half the people at Walmart don't like you, but you keep going back. You get on their nerves because you long in the line, gripe about everything. And next time they'll see you, they'll be like, I'm going to a different restaurant, but I'm not going to leave Walmart on account of that woman. They're going to drive me from Walmart. Don't let nothing drive you from Jesus. Don't let nothing drive you from being established. The Bible says those that are planted in the house of the Lord, those are the ones that will flourish in the courts of our God. Don't let nothing stop you. Cast your cares over on the Lord. Let's bow our head. Father, I praise you and thank you this morning, Lord.